So where is your over the rainbow travel destination, your trip of a lifetime, the travel experience that you loved the most, or the trip you yearn to take someday? Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, February the 3rd. After yesterday's blizzard in southern Wisconsin anyway, some of us are thinking of warmer weather destinations at this time. That song I just played reminds me of Hawaii, and I am going to be taking a trip to Maui next month and looking forward to that. Others, including Wisconsin Public Radio producer Cynthia Schuster, decided in the middle of winter to take a trip to Antarctica to see penguins. Well, our guest this hour goes everywhere and most recently returned from a cruise from Acapulco to L.A. Next up, Puerto Rico. He is a native of Appleton, Wisconsin, and he just returned home last week. He's joining us this hour to talk about trips of a lifetime. What is yours? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Gary Arndt. He's a travel blogger at everythingeverywhere.com. It was rated one of the best blogs of 2010 by Time Magazine, and we last spoke with him last year when he got that designation. He joins us in the studio. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning.
Thanks for braving the roads to come down from Appleton today.
Well, thanks for having me back.
You just were in Acapulco, L.A., a lovely cruise, and then back to Appleton, where you didn't get quite the blizzard we got, but still, that's a change in temp.
Yeah, I drove up here this morning, and the conditions here, you seemed like you got a lot more snow than we did.
Yeah, 18.7, not that I'm counting, inches. Anyway, how was this lovely trip from Acapulco to L.A.?
Really good. It was a short cruise for me, just 5 days, but I got to be part of the maiden voyage of the Queen Elizabeth, which is the new ship in the Cunard line. And they're the vestige of the traditional transatlantic white star Cunard shipping. And it was part of a 108-day around-the-world trip. And so I got to go from the Acapulco to Cabo San Lucas to Los Angeles.
Wow, route. That's got to be on someone's list, an around-the-world trip.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. There were about 800 people on board that were doing the full round-the-world trip, and it started in London.
How long does that usually take for a cruise?
3.5 months. It was 108 days.
You're a big advocate of take longer than a week for vacation, make it a long-term vacation.
Well, you know, for most people, in the course of a given year, you're only going to have a certain amount of time. But I think at some point in your life, whether it's after college or when you're retired or at some point, you should take, 3 months to travel around the world. To see the things that you've always wanted to see, the amazing places and to experience things that you otherwise don't get to do. Because going on vacation, most people just want to relax. Maybe you go to a resort, you hang out on the beach. But really taking the time will give you an opportunity to do more than that.
Mm-hmm. Next stop, Puerto Rico. What's on tap there?
Well, the next stop is the Super Bowl.
Oh, you're going to go to the Super
Bowl?
No,
I'm not. I'm going to watch it. Okay. That's why I'm here. But after that, Monday, I'm going to leave for Puerto Rico. If you're going to be in Wisconsin, you should be here for the holiest of days, which is the Packers being in the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Then on Monday, I'm off to Puerto Rico. I'll be there for about 2 weeks. And then I go to Valencia, Spain.
Wow. What are you looking forward to doing, or what's on the itinerary in Puerto Rico?
I'll be basically just going all over the island and hoping. The one thing I really want to see is the Arecibo Radio Telescope. If you've seen the movie Contact, that's the world's largest radio telescope. It's kind of built into a cone of a volcano.
Mm-hmm. And Spain, that's on my list. I saw that travel to Europe and certain countries in particular is actually pretty economical right now because they're trying to get people over there.
It's better than it was. Mm-hmm. The dollar with the euro was like 150 maybe a year and a half ago, and now it's down to, I haven't checked lately, but I think it's like in the 120 to 130 range. So it's gotten a little bit better.
And since we last talked to you about a year ago, you have done some amazing things. Tell us about what you've been up to.
I think it was last on in July. Mm-hmm. I took a month-long road trip up to the tip of Newfoundland in Canada. I took a rail trip from Toronto to Quebec City. Was in South Africa, where I got to go hot air ballooning and diving with great white sharks. Spent some time in the ABC Islands in the Caribbean, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. Was in Vegas for 2 weeks, was in Honolulu for 2 weeks, and was in Thailand for about a month.
Wow. So you don't have a trip of a lifetime. You do one every week, right?
I'm in the middle of a four-year trip of a lifetime right now.
So I'm going to Maui. I mentioned next month. I don't know if it's trip of a lifetime, but I'm looking forward to it for sure. It's something that I think a lot of people do, especially in the middle of winter, want to go somewhere warm. And not to be missed on Maui?
The two things would be Haleakala National Park, which is the large volcano on the east side of the island. Great place, almost as tall as some of the volcanoes on the Big Island. You'll see some plants up there, which are only found in Haleakala. And you can also rent bikes and coast down, which is probably the longest you'll ever have to bike without pedaling.
And that I'm looking forward to. I'm taking that bike ride down from the summit of the volcano to the shore. So it's going to be almost 30 miles.
And Hawaii is one of the few spots on Earth where you can actually go, say, 10,000 feet from that high of an elevation all the way down to sea level. And what you should do when you're at the top, just for fun, take a water bottle, an empty bottle, and close it at 10,000 feet. And then look to see what happens to the bottle when you get down to sea level. It'll be crushed.
Really?
Yeah, just from the air pressure.
Well, I'll try it. I'll try it.
Yeah, and the other great thing on Maui is, of course, the Hana Coast, which is the winding road which goes around Haleakala. It's about, 20 miles total distance, but it's going to take you about 3 or 4 hours because it's one lane in a lot of spots, a lot of bridges, a lot of waterfalls in it. One of the most beautiful drives you're ever going to have.
Yeah, you're also a big advocate of when you go someplace to not just sit at the resort and get the all-inclusive drinks, but to really try to get out and sense the culture, get out and about.
I was in Acapulco, and before I got on the cruise, I went 3 days early, and never been there before. And I always wait till the last minute to plan. And I got a place to stay. And it turned out, I didn't know this before I went, it was out of Acapulco, about a half hour north. And it was basically just a room in a family's house. And I stayed with them and they made me breakfast. And I had this enormous beach all to myself. Nobody was there. It was absolutely, a great experience.
And what do you get out of travel personally, and what do you think most of us get out of travel that we don't get if we just maybe watch it on TV?
A great example is right now there are protests going on in Egypt, mm-hmm. and I've been to Egypt. I spent about a month in Egypt. Before that, there were protests going on in Tunisia. I'd never been to Tunisia. The difference to me was I had a much more emotional reaction to what was happening in Egypt because I had been there. All the protests that are going on in that square. I was in that square. Mm-hmm. You can see the Egyptian Museum right there. So when they talk about these things, I've met people from there. You have a much better understanding of a place once you've been there, and suddenly you hear it on the news and it's very different. Because we always hear about these, protests or wars or natural disasters happening. When you're there and you've met people and you've seen it, it's a very different thing.
Yeah, it is. Gary Arndt is our guest. He is a Wisconsin-based travel blogger at everythingeverywhere.com. And we are talking with him about your trip of a lifetime, our trips of our lifetimes. What is the travel experience that you loved the most that you've already done, or the trip that you yearn to take someday? And Gary, you are also working on a book on this topic.
Yeah. Every day, almost literally every day, when I got a new pair of glasses yesterday. And, what do you do? Where are you from? And I told people what I do, and it's the same reaction. It's like, oh, you're so lucky. You're so amazing. I wish I could do that. And, you know, people can. I don't think it's reasonable for people to travel for a full year. But I think at some point in your life to take some sort of extended journey where you can, you know, did you see the movie The Bucket List with Morgan Freeman? And
I did not, but I know what it's about. Yes.
Yeah. And a lot of people have these things and they're just, it's a wish list. Boy, I would like to go to the Taj Mahal, or boy, I would like to go to Bali. And they never do these things because they think, oh, it's too expensive and I got a job and I got kids and a dog. And it can be done. It requires some planning and some saving, but it's certainly something that can be done.
Well, let's start taking calls since we have many who want to share or maybe have some questions. Bernadette in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Bernadette.
Hello.
Do you have a trip of a lifetime to share?
I do indeed. I went with my son, and that was one of the things that made it a trip of a lifetime. He's a musician, lives in San Francisco. We met up in London. We went from London to Paris. So we spent half the time in London, half the time in Paris. We prepared by studying French so that we would, you know, be welcoming and respectful of the people that we were going to spend time with in Paris. We made sure we had our dark clothes. We didn't stand out like tourists. And we traveled all the time on public transportation, which was just a joy because you were really with the people, you know, and everybody travels in public transportation. So it's such a kind of a evening of people, and everybody is the same. We're all standing in line, and we're all elbow to elbow, and it was, you know, one thing after another, one place after another was more beautiful than the other, and it was just phenomenal.
Do you have another one on your to-do someday list, Bernadette?
Yes. The same son goes to Hawaii every year. Interesting that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of the name of the island, but it's a more remote island that's not very settled. And he did some phenomenal snorkeling. He sent me pictures from there. So I would like to go the opposite way, and I know it's a long trip, and he said, well, stop in San Francisco for a while, and then we'll go. So that's kind of the next thing.
All right. Sounds wonderful. Bon voyage.
Thank you, and you too on your trip.
Yeah, thanks very much. Well, now I don't know which island that is, but you're also heading to Hawaii too, aren't you, Gary?
Yeah, in early March, I'm going to be in the island of Lanai. I'm guessing if it's a smaller island, it was probably Lanai or Molokai.
Mm-hmm. No, it was Lanai.
Yeah.
Lanai. Okay, so.
You said phenomenal snorkeling and very, not touristy.
Yeah, very few people live on either of those islands.
Yeah, so it was great.
I can take a little ferry over, you tell me, from Maui to,
yep.
Yeah, well, maybe we'll see you there. Anyway, that sounds really nice. And also Bernadette brings up that she was traveling with her son. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on doing this by yourself, traveling alone or traveling with a group or
I do most of my traveling alone, but sometimes I travel with other people. You mentioned before when my father passed away this summer. When he passed away, we didn't spend time talking about the stuff he owned. We spent time talking about, oh, the fishing trip he took to Canada, the time we went on vacation. We took a trip when I was young to South Dakota. Once we went to Mackinac Island. Those are the things that people remember. And there are a lot of studies that show that experiences that we go through are the things we value most and make us happy. Once we get something, that joy goes away. And you take a trip like this, it is going to be up there on your life experiences, probably just below getting married and having kids. It's something that you will remember for the rest of your life.
And our condolences, my condolences on the loss of your father. I know when you were here last, he was ill. And I'm glad that he was able to hear the program, though, when you were here. And it's a good reminder. What is your trip of a lifetime? What's on your bucket list when it comes to travel? Do you have a travel experience that you think was the greatest or that you loved the most? Or is there a trip that you yearn to take someday? We are talking about trips of a lifetime. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking about travel, be it Africa or anywhere else. Where is your trip of a lifetime. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Gary Arndt. He is a Wisconsin-based travel blogger at everythingeverywhere.com, which was rated one of the best 25 blogs of 2010 by Time Magazine. We have linked his website to our Facebook page, the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and our website at WPR.org. Africa, you say you were recently in Africa too, Gary, and you went swimming with the great white sharks.
Yeah.
Oh, what's wrong with you? No, I'm just teasing. And that must have been exciting.
It was. We went to the area when they do Shark Week on the Discovery Channel. They do a lot of the shots at the very southern point of South Africa, which is where we went. And what you do is you get in a wetsuit. It's not diving. You don't have a scuba tank or anything. They have a cage that sits on the side of the boat. They chum the water. They throw out fish heads, pull in the sharks, and they are, you know, they get like 3 feet away from you. And we literally had one at the very end. The water was really cold. It was in like 54 degrees. That literally, he opened up his mouth and it was kind of like this Jaws experience from me to you away. I mean, it was that close.
Yeah, I'll think about that one. I know that some sort of safari is on my trip of a lifetime list. I think that would be fantastic. Oh, look, we have somebody who was sort of, kind of in that area. David in Deerfield, hi.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead. What's your trip of a lifetime?
Well, I've been a sailor all my life, and a racing sailor, and in 1991 I decided I wanted to see a little bit more of the blue water, so I started trying to get around the world in sections and sailed from Spain to Antigua, crossing the Atlantic, and on one trip with a bunch of Swedes, and then subsequent to that, I sailed from Hawaii to Pongo Pongo in the South Pacific on a small boat, a 36-foot boat. And then in 1995, I was reading a Professional Mariner magazine, and it was a classified ad saying, not for the faint-hearted. They were moving, a fellow was moving his 54-foot boat from Spain to Los Angeles around Cape Horn.
Oh.
And I decided I'd sign on to that. He had about 250 applicants, because that's every sailor's dream, is to sail around Cape Horn. And I was selected to do that. So we sailed in 1995 from Rio de Janeiro around Cape Horn to Valdivia, Chile, which is a distance of around 5,000 miles. It took 10 weeks, and it was in the most awesome conditions in the world, because that's the area of the great seas, the big westerly winds, and so on and so forth. And
That sounds fantastic.
Really, a lifetime.
Any more sailing in your future, David?
Yes, I'd still like to do a little more blue water, but I'm getting on here yet, so it's a little bit. All these trips took 30 to 40 days, and the Cape Horn trip took 10 weeks, so it's a little more difficult to get away for that period of time now, but it was a trip of a lifetime. It's every sailor's dream to be able to sail east or west around Cape Horn. A few do it because of the hazards and dangers involved. Nobody goes down to that area for recreational sailing, that's for certain. We encountered winds of 70 and 80 miles an hour for days on end, with seas building to 50 feet, and we're in fear of our lives for most of the trip. But it's a great feeling of accomplishment. We were probably the seventh or eighth boat, small boat, that is, in the history of the world ever to sail east to west around Cape Horn. That's considered the hard way. The easy way is going west to east, because you're with the great westerlies, and the big seas are following you instead of on your nose. So,
doesn't that sound exciting, Gary?
It's not for me, but I have a great deal of respect for anybody that can do it.
Yeah, that's sailing around the world, and he's doing the sailing.
Yeah.
So that's quite something. Thank you so much for sharing that, David. Nate in Beaver Dam is with us. Hello, Nate.
Hi. I wanted to share a trip where a teammate from the UW rowing team and I, after we graduated from college, had just enough money to buy a bike for each of us, and we biked in the back roads of Wisconsin from Madison up to Madeline Island in Lake Superior, and then back down to Madison on the eastern side of the state.
How much time did that take, and how long is that?
It took us about 12 days, and it was just under 1,000 miles. that we pedaled. But what made it awesome, I think, was the combination of, you know, we were kind of kicking off the beginning of the rest of our lives, so we had very little responsibility at that point as far as jobs or family. And, you know, for safety reasons, you have to take the roads less traveled when you're biking. And so we saw a lot of the state where you usually wouldn't see with a car. And it's very easy to stop at a little towns when you're on a bike and see things.
Yeah, I think what the last two callers bring up is it's not just the destination all the time. It's how you get there. Whether you're biking or sailing or taking a train or sort of if you're driving on a road trip or you're on a cruise ship, sometimes the process of getting to a place is really, you know, the most interesting part of a trip.
Oh, yeah. And again, biking might not be for everybody, but you probably do see a lot more or certainly different sights if you're on a bike than if you're on a highway driving. Yeah. That sounds great, Nate. Thank you very much. You know what I like, too, even though that was quite the adventure, it was right here. I mean, it was, you know, it was sort of a Wisconsin-based or
Midwest.
Yeah,
you don't have to go around the world. I've lived in Wisconsin for about half my life, and I have never been to Taliesin, which is Frank Lloyd Wright's home. And it's not far from here. And you'll find New Yorkers who've never been to the Statue of Liberty. There are all kinds of people that there are things next door, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's just there. I could go there anytime. And then they never end up doing it. And visiting those kind of things doesn't require a lot of money, doesn't require a lot of time. But, yeah, there are things that are right next door to a lot of people that they just never take the time to do because maybe they're looking at, you know, some grander trip.
Yeah, there could be a trip of a lifetime right in our own backyards. It was interesting that Nate was saying that this was sort of a trip before, you know, life's responsibilities were going to, you know, come upon him and his friends, which might stop people from doing some of these things. But as you say, you can do it sometime.
I get emails almost every day from people from all different walks of life, retired, kids out of high school. I just had one the other day from a stockbroker on Wall Street who is going to be taking off for a year to travel, from teachers, from people at every age, families who take the time to do something like this. And I should also add, when families do this, I think traveling is the best education you can get. You spend a year traveling, that's the equivalent of a 4-year degree. You don't have a piece of paper, but certainly the knowledge you get, just the practical knowledge from traveling and visiting other places, is enormous.
Yeah. Well, I know I have a niece graduating from high school this spring, and her mom is taking her because it's something they both have wanted to do on a fairly long trip to Italy. They're going to go to a bunch of different cities in Italy, and it's where my father was born. So that's going to be an education after high school graduation.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with Italy.
Yeah, I know. There's lots to see there. There's so much history, culture. That's where, Michelangelo.
I spent several weeks in Italy, and I only did the north. Yeah. Between Rome and Florence and Venice, not to mention the smaller places like Siena, Assisi, Milan, I was in Turin. Every little town has just beautiful churches, and the same is true in much of Europe.
Yeah. I think I'm going to try to go with them. Kay in Amory. Hi, Kay.
Good morning, Joy. Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. And I need to tell your guest, get thee to Taliesin. It is just beautiful.
Yeah, it's only, 20 minutes away from here, so.
Yeah, I know.
And just the drive, you know, along the river and all. But trip of a lifetime. Oh, my goodness. I was thinking about this while I was waiting. I've taken 10 road trips with my grandson, who just graduated from high school. My youngest sister and I have driven the Lewis and Clark Trail twice, and this past summer, she and I drove to Prince Edward Island. So I've driven to the Atlantic, I've driven to the Pacific. I just love road trips.
Yeah, and do you take the interstates or the back roads or a little of both?
Well, if you do Lewis and Clark, you have to take back roads.
Okay.
And Prince Edward Island, too, a lot of back roads. Through the wine country in New York and Niagara Falls and just a lot of places that we love to see. And it's nothing like getting in your car and just going.
Yeah, I love road trips, too.
Just in Prince Edward Island earlier this year.
Oh, yeah.
That eastern part of Canada is really beautiful, and I think a lot of people, it's overlooked, especially by Americans.
It is. If you've read, if anyone has read Anne of Green Gables, that was the impetus for the trip. We had both read that book as children, and our mother read it to us. And so that had been on our bucket list for years, and we finally did it this past summer.
Prince Edward Island is actually a big destination for Japanese tourists for that reason.
Really?
A big wedding destination. Because of Anne of Green Gables.
Yes.
And Kay, do you have another next trip?
Well, actually, yes. This isn't a road trip, but 3 weeks from today, I will be on St. John, Virgin Island, getting away from the snow.
I'm with you there, but I'm not the only one. So, yeah, it's nice to. A lot of people do like to get away from.
I hate the snow.
Do you really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's nice the first time it falls and it looks beautiful, and then it gets slushy, and then you gotta shovel the car out. And...
Well, you know, I will say that I'm not going to go in the dead of winter, but Alaska is on my list of places to go. There's just so much beautiful scenery, and I'll look at those glaciers from afar. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that someday, one day, someday. Manuel in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, thank you for taking my call.
Yes, Manuel, I'm sorry.
That's fine. Mm-hmm. Well, let me start by saying that I'm originally from Guatemala, and I've been blessed because I have been able to travel the world. Recently, I just came back from the country of Chile, which I had never been to in the past, and I am fascinated with the country. But I have a question for your guest. There is a national park in Chile called Las Torres del Paine, which means the Towers of the Paine, and it's just such a mystical that I'm looking forward to going back soon to that country to go to that specific park. What can you tell me about that specific park, if you know anything about it?
Is that in Patagonia?
Yes, I am trying to go back. I'm going back to Chile hopefully in 5 months from now.
I've not been to that particular park, but I've heard a lot about it. Just Chile, you know, given its geography being north-south, has such an enormous diversity of... You know, you have deserts, and then you have these really beautiful. Think of kind of an inverted United States, almost as far, or like the West Coast, as mm-hmm. far as like Alaska, and that's the southern part of Chile, with fjords and glaciers and things like that. I've heard it's beautiful, and it's a place I would love to visit.
Yes, yes, and the last comment that I have, I heard that you'd like to travel alone, which I enjoy doing also. To me, it's more like a cleansing of the soul. Have you ever had any experiences like that?
I've been basically traveling alone the last 4 years, so yeah, if it's a soul cleansing experience, my soul is pretty cleansed at this point.
But it's good. Travel is. It does something in terms of lifting the spirit and maybe expanding the soul. I don't know.
You meet people, too. And, you know, I should also say, if you stay just in the all-inclusive resorts and the luxury hotels, you're going to miss out on meeting just a lot of other travelers, mm-hmm. people who are you just came from the direction you're going, from other parts. And, you know, it's not – you don't just learn by going to a different country. You learn by meeting other people as well who might be traveling.
Yeah. Well, happy travels, Manuel, and thanks very much for the call. One place that I put on my list, in part because a former producer at Wisconsin Public Radio, Carmen Jackson. If you're listening, Carmen, we all miss you. She's from Peru, and she says you have to. I mean, she was telling me every year you have to go to Machu Picchu, and I want to go there. And now I'm seeing that they might start limiting travel to some of these
people go there. Mm-hmm. And in fact, you know, I've heard stories about when they open up the gates in the morning, it's just a mad rush.
Yeah, yeah. So some of these places you might have to see while the seeing is good.
Angkor in Cambodia is another place like that. Mm-hmm. Gets a lot of traffic, and they're probably going to take steps in the future to limit the number of people coming through.
Yeah. Our next caller is Jennifer in Waukon, Iowa. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I was calling. I wanted to share that my dream trip is going to take place in probably 10 years. My husband and I are going to take our three kids to Ireland. My mother's family came from Ireland a couple generations ago, mm-hmm. and our goal is to see if we can find any relatives that are still over there.
Worthy goal. And why 10 years? Just so the kids are a little older?
Yeah, right now the oldest one is only 4, and so we want to wait until they're old enough to actually get something out of the trip. So.
Sounds wonderful. Have you have not been to Ireland before, Jennifer?
The farthest I've ever been has been St. Louis, Missouri. So
there is nothing wrong with experience. Yeah. Those arches are pretty cool. So, but isn't that something? That's nice to go back and trace some family tree stuff with the entire family.
Yeah, I actually have no idea where my family's from.
Really?
I was contacted a couple years ago by someone who was a distant cousin, and he knew the village that a great-great-great-grandfather was from in Belgium. But unfortunately, I was in Belgium before I got that news. But if I had known it, I think I would have gone to the village just to check it out.
Yeah. Ever been to Ireland? It looks very green and beautiful.
I haven't yet. I'm planning to go this year.
Are you? Okay. Yeah. Have a very wonderful trip, Jennifer. I know it's going to be in 10 years, but have a great trip.
But you know, that's good to say, okay, rather than just it's a distant dream, even if you set a date, 10 years, this is when we're going to do it. It at least is a timeline, and it's something you can at least start planning and saving for.
Yeah. Next, we go to Arthur in New Berlin. Hi, Arthur.
Hello. It's my congratulations for you to go to Maui. My granddaughter, Amy, and Matt Newman were married there 1 year ago yesterday.
Oh, happy anniversary to them.
Black Rock Peninsula, Ka'anapali in Maui. And Ka'anapali means rolling hills, and Maui means fire god. Hawaii means breath of life, ha. And wai is living water, and e is supreme god. So you will see a wonderful a bunch of people there who say aloha. Alo means face to face, and ha means breath of life. And that was a wonderful experience last year. And the trip of a lifetime was with my wife to Peru, Bolivia, and Ecuador. And such good memories. You just mentioned about Machu Picchu. We were able to climb all the way up to Huayna Picchu, where a condor came very close to us. It looked like a big glider airplane.
Wow.
It was just an amazing experience.
And Arthur, you learned all of this about Hawaii when you went there for the wedding, or did...
Oh, I had a college roommate from Haula, Oahu, and he taught me a lot of Hawaiian. They only have 12 letters in the alphabet. So, like if you say Merry Christmas, it's Meli Kaliki Maka, because they don't have enough letters in the alphabet to say Merry Christmas, I guess. But, I learned a lot of Hawaiian, and that was a good experience to use it last year when I was at the wedding of my grandchildren.
Yeah. Sounds wonderful. And sounds like, I read here you just got back from Kenya, too.
Oh, yes. I went with the Fox River Christian Church at Waukesha on a church mission. My interest was to see what was maybe the need for developing a medical clinic in the Mombasa, Bomani, Vipingo area on the Indian Ocean. They're going to send I was going to go, but we have a Des Moines University Board of Trustees meeting in Florida at the same time that the medical group is going to be going over to Mombasa. That's the first part of March.
Well, Arthur, it sounds wonderful. You bring up a lot of great points. You can do some of this travel, too, in terms of volunteer travel. Have you ever done anything along those lines, Gary?
I did some in Cambodia. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of opportunities for volunteering all over the world. Some places, they actually make you pay for it. Like, you have to pay to volunteer. And
something wrong with that.
Of them are not on the up and up, so you really should research what you do before you volunteer, because sometimes people's hearts tend to get in the way of seeing what's really happening. But there are plenty of really good, outstanding organizations that you can work with.
Arthur, I wish you well on your travels, and aloha. Thank you for all of the lessons.
One thing you should try when you're in Hawaii, loco moco.
What is that?
It is rice with two hamburger patties and gravy.
I'll pass.
That's what they think of cheese curds.
Oh, really?
It's their local
I've
dish.
Had, I've had that, what is that, that poi that made that's pounded from some root
yeah,
and
taro.
It's purple. Oh, that, yeah. It's that's an acquired taste, too. But I'm looking forward to that. I think we need to take a break. We are talking about travel and great travel experiences and wondering if you want to share your trip of a lifetime. Maybe you've already had it. Maybe it's still to come. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public. We are talking about travel, be it to the land down under or anywhere. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. If you would like to share with you your greatest trip ever or the vacation or travel experience that you want to take someday. Talking about the trip of a lifetime with Gary Arndt, who is a Wisconsin-based travel blogger at everythingeverywhere.com. He is also working on a book on this same subject matter, and we'd love to hear from you this hour. And I just remembered Oprah Winfrey went to, didn't she go to the land down under recently?
I was just
going to
say.
Yeah.
They estimated that her going there may have like a $500 million impact on their economy from tourism, from people going to Australia.
Yeah, and I have to admit, I've always thought about Australia, but I thought, yeah, I've got
to
do
now
that.
Now is not the time to go.
Why?
It's expensive. The Australian dollar is very strong right now. It was about 66 cents, U.S. cents could buy you an Australian dollar, and it's around where the Canadian dollar is right now, parity or a little bit more. So it's very expensive right now compared to what it used to be a few years ago. A lot of Australians are coming to the U.S. now.
Okay. Isn't that funny? I was it wasn't the U.S., but I was in the Bahamas recently for another warm weather getaway. And a lot of people from Australia and Canada were there. I mean, and certainly the U.S., but I'm amazed at how many people from Australia and Canada that I met on that trip. Let's take another call from Ruth in Altoona. Hi, Ruth.
Yes, hello. You're talking about Australia, and my stepdaughter is there right now, and she's on her way to work and play in Tasmania as well. But she's amazing. You know, she works to travel. I mean, her life is about travel, and she's figured it out how to do it. This last summer, she was in Czechoslovakia and to Germany, and then she hopped across the Atlantic in a Polish freighter because it was cheap. And, you know, she's figured out the hostel situation. You know, she researches where she can work for a room and board, sometimes make money. Just depends upon how much money, additional money she wants to make. But she isn't committed to a house or, you know, she rents a room. When she's in the United States, she rents a room. She'll work a temp service. They usually hire her on full time, and then she makes whatever money she needs to make. She doesn't have a car. She uses mass transit, and she has her room cost and her cell phone cost, and that's it. And the rest, she squirrels all her money away to travel, and she puts it aside and doesn't use it all up while she's traveling because she's doing the she just helped build an energy-efficient school in Australia and did that for a couple of weeks, I think like 3 weeks actually. Got room and board while she got her work visa, and she's just amazing what she's been able to do.
That does sound amazing, and the way you put it is she works to travel.
Yep.
Isn't that
well,
cool?
You raise a good point. Mm-hmm. This doesn't have to be really expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It can be done far cheaper than people think.
Yeah, that's what she's really taught us, I think. And you know, some things, if you're over 30, it's harder because you can't really qualify for certain things than if you're under 30, which is interesting, too.
I'm over 30.
yeah.
I don't have a problem. You can stay in hostels. I've been in many hostels where
sure,
I was the youngest
sure.
person there.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be for both, but she does qualify for some things because she's under 30 for some reason. So I think it's the work visas too.
Thank you for sharing that point, Ruth. But what about you? Are you, going to meet up with her in Australia or anywhere?
Well, we probably aren't going to meet up with her in Australia, but travel is a big part of, I think my family didn't do a lot of travel, but my husband's family does. And so, putting together, we've just traveled a lot in the United States and into Canada, and we just were in Toronto for a week last summer, which was wonderful, and went to Niagara Falls, which is just amazing. So we've been traveling, but more within the United States.
Yeah, that's
very nice. She mentioned Tasmania. Very, very few Australians even bother to go to Tasmania. It's a very beautiful place. Most of Australia is very dry. Tasmania is very lush, and they have the second largest trees in the world, the giant eucalyptus trees in Tasmania. Just not quite as big as redwoods, but just as impressive.
Niagara Falls is pretty impressive, too. What do you think?
I was just there a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, got to go to Niagara Falls.
Yeah, I'm going to go there sometime. Ruth, thank you so much. Happy travels to you and your daughter. Chris in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yes, so where's your dream trip?
Next place that I'd like to go see is Tugela Falls in South Africa.
And that was, did you hear that, Gary? Tugela Falls, South Africa?
Is that the really high one?
Yeah, second highest one in the world.
Mm-hmm. I know of it, but I wasn't there. I was actually I saw Algarbees Falls in Algarbees National Park in Northwest, which is not as high, but the total water discharge is just enormous sometimes. It's on the Orange River.
Oh.
And you just want to see this, Chris?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's about it.
Oh.
A couple of things, too. Anybody looking to travel cheap, take a look at couchsurfing.com. And also make sure to get Lonely Planet guides. And I'll listen out there.
All right. Well, I've heard of couch surfing. This is where you can just stay in someone's house and stay in their couch.
People put up guests, mm-hmm. and they have a verification process. So if people have stayed with someone, they can say, yeah, I vouch for this person. It's a very safe, even though a lot of people have concerns about it. And basically, you can stay a few days with someone for free.
Do you know about these Lonely Planet guides?
They're very popular guidebooks. Personally, mm-hmm. I don't use guidebooks. They tend to be expensive and heavy, and the information is usually out of date. Simply because of the nature of being a printed book, mm-hmm. There's a publication cycle. I usually find it's cheaper and easier to get information online. And if you have some sort of smartphone now, you can usually find small apps that are like guidebooks if you need information for hotels, restaurants, things like that.
Good idea. Yeah, I have some guidebooks from 20 years ago that are still sitting on one of our bookshelves, and I think they're probably pretty outdated now. Jackie in Drummond is with us now. Hi, Jackie.
Oh, listen, this is such a fun show. At my age, I decided I don't want to travel anymore, and you've kind of made me want to travel again. Well, my first experience was in 1995. I'd never been out of the country. I'm an avid cyclist. I saw a bike trip advertised for Vietnam. And there again, it said, not for the faint of heart. So I did that, and that was just amazing. And then over the years, I've done some, I won't go into service volunteers with Global Volunteers, which is a very reputable organization. But I think the highlight, I went to a wedding in Chile. My daughter-in-law got married in Chile, and I happened to be reading Paul Thoreau's book, not realizing that Easter Island belonged to Chile. So I went to Easter Island, and to me, that was just a very privileged and just a trip of a lifetime, especially since they, kind of recount how Easter Island self-destructed from using all their resources. It's kind of a timely comment on our global, warming and exchange. So that was really fun.
Wonderful, Jackie. Well, I'm glad we inspired you to consider traveling again. I love that the cycling trip in Vietnam was not for the faint of heart, so she took that trip.
Never too old to travel.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jackie.
You know, the cruise I just went on, the average age of the people on the ship was probably in the upper 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many people in their late 80s. Now, obviously, maybe cycling isn't for someone like that, but I think cruises are an excellent option if you're, that mm-hmm. old.
Thanks, Jackie. Art in Milwaukee is with us now. Hi, Art.
Hi. Thanks for the show. Mm-hmm. While I've been to Cuba many times and as a lawyer represent people on the right to go to Cuba, which is a fascinating place, tremendous for ecotourism, smallest bird in the world, smallest frog in the world, heavily reforested, mm-hmm. and, you know, comparing notes with the average Cuban as to our lives and their lives is really interesting. My unforgettable trip was to Vietnam a couple of years ago. The people there are so very young population, very forward-looking. We were in and around Hanoi for a legal conference, spent a night in a village, ethnic minority, went to a big Hmong market. There's about a million Hmongs who live in northern part of Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And beautiful countryside, Halong Bay, World Heritage Site, and it's, you know, we're one of the, I think we're the number one trade partner with Vietnam now, and, you know, makes it kind of sad all the negative stuff we had to do to try to tell them what right. to do, but it's a beautiful country, and they're very forward-looking, very optimistic, and very
I think it's the most affordable country I've ever visited.
Really?
Very yeah. cheap, and I just saw a list of the cheapest destinations, and it had Hanoi as number one.
I know that my husband wants to go to Vietnam someday, so that might happen as well. And what about Cuba? That do you think there's ever going to be a day when that's free and open travel?
I believe it'll happen soon.
Yeah,
it's gotten to a point where I don't think anybody on any side of the political spectrum really sees a point in it anymore. Even the what traditionally has held it back was the Cubans in Miami and in Florida, and I think even they now see that it'd probably be best to just open up travel.
Yeah, it would be, I'm sure, a beautiful in terms of ecotourism. I went to one country that was big in ecotourism, Costa Rica.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people go to Costa Rica. I think mm-hmm. Central America is becoming a more popular destination for Americans now. Mm-hmm. For so long, everything in the news was, you know, about wars or some sort of strife, and most of that is gone now, and all of the countries in Central America are becoming much more popular.
I think we have time for one, maybe two more. We'll see. Edith in Madison. Hi, Edith. Your trip of a lifetime?
Well, I'll tell you, this is only recent and a result of watching Wisconsin Public Television's Create channel that has a series of cooking shows called New Scandinavian Cooking. And these shows are all taken outside in various places of Denmark and Sweden and Finland. And something about that kind of landscape has just hit me. I would love to tour the Baltic states, Finland, St. Petersburg, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. All of it. It just fascinates me. I'm a person who loves the sea and the seashore, and it's very flat, and I don't know. It just hits me.
Will you take cooking classes while you're there, Edith?
No. All I care about is the scenery. I'm 80, and I probably will never do it. But it just seems somehow it has a real pull.
We just have a minute. Never say never, right, Gary?
No.
And that I just very quickly, when she mentioned the cooking classes she was watching on TV, I mean, some people do travel to take classes.
I know many people who are foodies. And, yeah. You know, everyone has a hobby or something, and food is obviously mm-hmm. one of the best ones.
This has been so much fun, and I am so jealous of where you're going next. You're going Puerto Rico, and then where was it again?
Valencia, Spain.
Valencia, Spain. You are doing everything, everywhere. We look forward to your book someday, and I hope you'll come back and maybe sooner than the last time.
Okay.
All right. Gary Arndt, Wisconsin-based travel blogger at everythingeverywhere.com. We have provided a link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and on our program notes at WPR.org. Talking with us about trips of a lifetime. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.